I love me. Let me count the ways. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. How I love me. Let me count the ways. And you think to yourself, my goodness sakes, what's coming now? Well, what is coming now? Do you have the slightest hesitation in your thought that I might say something that is self-congratulatory to myself? Do you have the slightest thought in your mind that I might say that I think I'm better than anybody else or something like that? Do you have the slightest thought in your mind about judgment? Well, if you do, that's what I intended you to have. Now, what are you going to do about you? What are you going to do about you? Are you really liking yourself? Are you really delighting in yourself? Are you really happy in yourself? Do you really think that you're a wonderful person? Or do you think that you are not wonderful? Now, one of my friends, students, who is in prison, he has been working, I've been working with him over the years, helping him with his lack of family to take care of him, because it seems when people go to prison, they're abandoned by their families, and or they abandon their families. Like he says, I have nothing worthwhile to write about. And so he's very unhappy. He's very unhappy with himself. He feels sorry for himself. And as he's feeling this way, the years go by, and I tell him, be positive, be positive. Keep positive thoughts in your mind. Keep positive thoughts in your mind. He said, it's not easy here in prison. And I said, well, why did you choose to go there? I didn't choose to come here. I said, yes, you did. You got out of prison after doing a period of time, and you had had two strikes against you when you got out of prison, and then you wanted your wife back, and your wife had already chosen somebody else. She'd left you when you first went into prison. And your kids, you never wrote to them, and so they didn't even know you, and they didn't care, because they had no tie to you. A tie of blood doesn't mean a thing, you know. It's a tie of caring. If you haven't read Jonathan Livingston Seagull in Illusions, you're missing a great opportunity to understand that. Now, he tells me that he's a great guy, and he is a great guy. He took the courses, and he became a minister, and he took the program, and he became a very good counselor. He would counsel with the guys in there and help them a great deal. But he has a passion for painting, and he needs to buy supplies for paint. So he tried to fix people's television sets, which he knew nothing about. And in the process, he blew up their television set, had to buy them new television sets. So instead of having money from fixing television sets to buy his paints, he ended up taking money that he could scrounge from anywhere to pay off the television sets. Well, that's not a very nice thing. That's kind of tough. And so I worked with him over the years, as I have with many, many prisoners. And as I worked with him, he had positive attitudes and positive attitudes and positive attitudes. But before he got out of prison the first time, or the last time, he had gotten his level way down low so he could work in the print shops and he could do lots of good things. But now his level is way up high, and so he's not given any privilege to even get out of the building. He can walk the yard under supervision, but he cannot work out in the yard. He cannot do anything. He just cut himself off from everything. And then he complains. And I said, well, change your thinking. Change your thing. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and start feeling glad for yourself. And I said, you know, you're an artist. And that's great. But you're not just an artist with the pen. or with your brush. You're an artist with your words too. Now, every day, write a piece of poetry that tells how you enjoy life and how you respond positively to life, and send it one day to your daughter, one day to your son, one day to your daughter. They won't care about that. That's not the point. You do. Do you care about it? Do you know that if you would do that for a period of time, in no time at all, one thing, you'd become a pretty good poet, because you'd be looking up rhyming words, you'd be looking up thoughts, you'd be thinking in a positive way. And another thing, you'd become a person with a dedication. Of course, you'd always keep a copy of every piece of poetry you sent to your family or anybody, because, you know, you might be famous someday, and you might like to publish them. So he started to do that a little bit. And his penmanship is very good, and he wrote. And then one time, his son, who was his namesake, said to him, "Dad, your poetry stinks." Well, now, that just took the wind out of his sails. And I said to him, "Roger, you're not doing that for yourself. You're doing that, you know, you're doing it for yourself, not for your son. And forget your son. Forget his attitude. Don't forget, he may not be into poetry. But if he keeps receiving it from you, he'll say, 'My father, the poet.' He won't say, 'My father, the convict.' He'll say, 'My father, the poet.' He won't say, 'My father, the miscreant who is going against the law all the time.' My father, the poet." Now, he may not think your poetry is any good, but you're still a poet, because that's who you are. And his daughter, the same way. Well, now, he didn't follow through on that, because he felt sorry for himself. So now, he says, "Herb, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing." And I said, "Roger, no way." I said, "I have been generous with you in the past, but it's over. You have used me. If you had told me that you wanted to have some money to buy some cosmetics or something, soap and what have you, I would have been more than happy to help you. But you wanted to pay off a debt that you had created, and the guys are going to get tough on you? No way. No way. Because if guys know that they can con you into getting more money from an outside source, they're going to con you into getting more. And again and again, let them kill you. Don't give them any money. Kill me? Herb, that's real. Don't you know that?" I said, "Yes." I said, "That's standing up for principle. If you just say, 'Hey, I will pay you, I promise you, but I will only pay you as I have it to pay. And I mean, I can only go without canteen myself and go without things myself for you, and the few pennies that we get in here is nothing much.'" And he said, "But I don't plan to do that again, to get in trouble like that again. But this is the umpteenth time, not just the 5th, 10th, or 18th, but the umpteenth time he's done this now. So I probably should have stood up to him before and said, 'Roger, that's not acceptable.' But I did now." And so he had been on the phone crying, telling me what he needed. And then finally he wrote this letter. And in this letter, he says, "I never realized that I was using you. I never realized that I was doing..." If indeed he did not realize that he was using me, he is naive, truly, truly naive. And that's okay, because I don't dislike him. I don't dislike him because he got to me and had me do things that I didn't feel was right to do. But I would work with him. And I told him, I said, "Roger, get your lessons in and work." That's me, because anything I do, any money I ever have, comes from my teaching. Any money that ever comes through my hands comes because I'm giving lectures, because I'm living the philosophy, I'm talking the philosophy to people, I'm sharing it, and people share with me a few pennies that they have, and I share that with you. I don't even use it for myself. And people say, "Well, Herb, you bought trinkets, you bought this." Yeah, sure. Isn't this nice? Isn't that nice?
Yes.
A little recorder. I remember when I carried the big ones around, and I carried all the big tapes along, you know. And I remember when I had all the different types of things that they came along. This is nice. It's nice. and a lot more talks get on to it too, and beautifully. And right now we have this at the point where we can have almost 187 hours at one, you know, setting on here without changing the chip or emptying it. But we do empty it. But now back to Roger. Roger is each one of us. Roger is each one of us when we feel sorry that the world's not being nice to us, and so then we go out and do something bad. We think the world isn't nice to us, and so we shout and scream and holler and stamp our feet, you know, and we say, yeah, 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 you know, we get angry at everybody. And it's ourself we're angry at, you know. It's ourself that we're feeling unhappy at. Anytime we swear at anybody else, anytime we get angry at anybody else, anytime we want to throw things at people, we're just mad at ourselves. And we're just at the verge of losing control. And if we do lose control, then we really better watch out, because the world might respond back. Because if you're going to throw a brick at somebody, be careful that person's not Mr. Rubberman, and the brick comes bouncing right back at you, and you're not Rubberman. We have to be very careful of these things, because that's what life's all about. Life is whatever we throw out, that's what comes back. And if we throw out garbage, that's what comes back. Now, we have a handyman, and we have computers that we're no longer using because they're totally outdated. And so we wanted to offer him one, which is not a very nice thing to do. And so we looked through the computer and emptied off all the programs on it. And then we wanted him to take it home. But he said he doesn't have room in his house for that big upright computer, that big standalone, and the big monitor and the big, you know, stuff, that he doesn't have room for it, you know. And his family is growing. And we think he should do it. We think he because he said he wanted it. He said, would you like to have it? Oh, yes, I'd love to have it. We should not offer things unless we're going to offer something that represents who we are. Now, Sylvia, who are you? An old burned-out computer? An old monitor that wiggles when you look at it? Are you a keyboard that's all full of dirt and dust, and they surely are, you know? Are you a mouse that needs to be cleaned, you know? What are you? Are you that? Are you that, Heinz? Are you that, Ellen?
No.
Are you that, Ingeborg? But would you give him that computer? Yes, you would. Yes, you would. You've made all sorts of plans to help and see that he got these things down. If we are really beautiful beings, what should we do? We should give to anyone else exactly what we like ourselves. And that's why I give to other people exactly what I like myself. When I like some object or something and I use it and I think, gee, I'd like to share this, so I give it away. And I give it to other people, but they don't have the same enjoyment for it that I did. But that just doesn't bother me. I give it because it's good, and I believe in it, and they can use it. You see? Now, if we always give that way, people won't encourage us to give much stuff, because they don't want our items. They want their own. This tape recorder here, this Olympus, it does me more good than the $175 that it cost. That, if it has as long a life as my other units have, that'll last 5-10 years and record everything under the sun beautifully, wonderfully, and it has all sorts of things inside of it that we didn't even know about. And our webmaster was searching it out and saying, hey, this will save you a lot of work on recording and on transcribing and doing different things. Wow! You know? We just don't know. And so I love it. I don't love it because I possess it. I love it because it does so many wonderful things and it is so great. When I sit in our cars, I sit in our car and drive it. I don't think it's this kind or that kind or this name or that name. I just think of the car. And what I'm interested in when I'm driving is what's on the road, is what's on the road ahead. And I surround that with my pure white light of love so that the road ahead is always good for me. But you see, I don't feel sorry for myself that I'm driving the truck or I'm driving a little car or a big car. I just drive whatever I'm driving with all my love and all my being. No. Can you keep yourself free of feeling sorry for yourself? Roger felt sorry for himself, and he almost got himself in a lot of trouble. One of our other prisoners, he felt sorry for himself too, and he was sitting on the potty in his cell, and the guard came in and said, "Get up." And he wouldn't get up. And the guard says, "Are you going to get up or not?" And he says, "No, I'm doing my duty." And the guard says, "Cut it off and stand up. Hey, there's reasons." And he says, "No, I won't." And so the guard shot him in the leg, shot him right in the knee. And he had his leg amputated from his knee down, and all because he was feeling sorry for himself. "Nobody's going to tell me to get off the pot. That's one of my sacred rights to sit on a pot." He was done. He was done. If it hadn't been scared out of him, he pumped it out. You can be sure of that. But it was done. But you understand what I'm saying. And when you tempt fate, when you tempt people who are trying to do their job to the best of their ability, and they say, "Get up," and you are belligerent and won't do it, you feel sorry for yourself and won't do it, they have to, they're not going to reach out their hand and grab you and make you stand up. They're going to say, "Do it or I'll shoot you." You know, that's what they got the guns for. And so he got shot. And what a shame. What a shame. But the thing is, it was part of his learning curve, because from that moment on, as he talked to me and told me what his problems were, we put a whole new set of causes in motion for him. And today, he is a totally different person than he was the person who spent, half of his 25 or 30 years in prison in the hole, you know, because he was such a recalcitrant, naughty child. But, you see, we love people. We love them, regardless of how nonsensical they are. If our own children were acting up, we'd love them, and we'd work with them. But are we really a good role model? Do we throw things? Do we shout and stomp our feet and pout and so forth, and feel sorry for ourselves? If we do, just know that we have no right to judge anybody else. We have no right to judge anybody else anyhow, but we have no right to judge anybody else. So this day, take out, in fact now, reach right inside, and grab that unconditional love and pull it out and let it see the light of day. "Hi, unconditional love. How nice to see you. My goodness sakes." And unconditional love says, "Well, I was wondering when you're going to use me, because I'm really lots of fun. I'm lots of fun. Everybody loves me. Everybody thinks I'm wonderful. Mr. Unconditional Love, you're wonderful?" "Yes, I am. Because I think I'm wonderful, and I think everybody else is wonderful. And that's why I say, start thinking you're a wonderful person. And start being that wonderful person." You thought I'd never get back to the subject, didn't you? But be that wonderful person that you are. Be that unconditional love that you are. And when you do, everything comes up roses. Have a good night, a good evening, good day, good life, good forever. And know that I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you.